Well, hi everyone, and it's a little bit late here, but maybe there's time for one more program. We have just finished a lengthy program, and we'll begin with program number 83, which concerns the ashrams concerned at the coming. And this takes us to June 1948. And we will not finish this today. It's too long. But let's at least get started. The full moon is upon us, the June full moon, I presume, and the thoughts of the world, to a larger extent than you realize, are directed towards the Christ. It is upon his concerns that I speak to you today, inextricably bound up as they are with the concerns of humanity, and this by his own choice. So the Tibetan is helping us understand how the Christ views the situation, and being a friend of the Christ, as you say, among the humblest of the friends of the Christ, a technical term, for those on the wisdom line, and being a disciple of the Christ in that the Christ is his master, he is qualified to speak. Okay. Many today in all lands are turning their thoughts consciously to him. Others are aware of a vague turning towards some divine person or power who must and should help mankind in its hour of need. There is a rising and ascension of the spirit of man everywhere, which is better known to us than to you, whose values and reactions are not so spiritual. That's just a factual statement. And basically, the Tibetan is happy to report that this is the case. For he reports this to inform us and to encourage us. The strength, the power, and the special energies which he received at that dramatic moment when he, the Buddha, and the Lord of the world created a triangle of light at the time of the Waisak festival will be released by him at the hour of the full moon of June. The light has been concentrated upon the center, which we call the race of men, but it has not yet been released. At the full moon, it will be poured out over all the earth. During the interim period between reception and distribution, it has been transformed into the energy of goodwill and into that light which will illumine the minds of men. Okay, so this is a strong and encouraging remark, and I don't know if he mentioned it, but he's mentioning it now, that a triangle has been formed between the Christ, the Buddha, and the Lord of the world at the Waisak festival, and to be released, that dramatic moment when he, the Buddha, and the Lord of the world created a triangle of light, of course, all for the sake of the emerging divine plan. Okay. So, an ascension of the spirit of man everywhere. That was the time to act, because the forces of darkness had been driven back, and much was possible at that moment had the correct choices been made. They were not always made, but sometimes they were. Okay, so during the interim between the reception of the light and its distribution, it has been transformed into the energy of goodwill. The light, and the light which will illumine the minds of men. It's so interesting to see what the promise was, and later when the Tibetan writes again, and it won't be far from this time, he will no doubt tell us how we did with our opportunities. Already we can, with a little sense of history about the last 72 or so years, we can pretty well tell how we've done. But of course, the masters see things, he clearly says, from a more spiritual, i.e. internal perspective, than we can possibly see, and their evaluation will be worth more than ours. The great invocation, you know, we're talking about the third stanza, now being used by so many, has greatly facilitated the receptivity of men. The creative appearance of effective goodwill, however, be some time in manifesting. Nevertheless, nothing can arrest its subtle working and its eventual widespread appearance on a scale great enough to be effective throughout the whole world. So it's taking a little longer for the goodwill to work out, but the great invocation is doing its task and making men more receptive to the light, love, and sacrificial power of the invocation. So much good work was done in translating the invocation into terms, words that were usable by the different language groups. This greatly to be desired expression of divine purpose will be fulfilled if humanity as a whole stands in steady expectancy. Now, it's one of the qualities to be utilized after a full moon. Wise activity and makes broad and brotherly decisions. Broad and brotherly. As I've often told you, the final decisions in world affairs have to be made through mankind's deliberate choice. No compulsion is ever exerted by the hierarchy or by the disciples of the Christ to force men to take some desirable action. You know, that would be, of course, the way of the counterforce, this forcing, this hitting the center of will, this compulsion. Man's free will must be preserved. In a unique manner, men are today facing a period of the freeing of the human soul, or a period of its imprisonment indefinitely. The right decision will lead to the kingdom of God, and the other to a retrogression which will deify the past and prolong past wrong action. Well, we do see people hearkening to the past as if it were the most valuable thing to restore. And men must make the final decision, though the hierarchy will do much to teach and promote and suggest and illumine so that that decision will be the correct one. The law just cannot be disobeyed, this Syrian law of freedom. Related, of course, to the law of karma, also coming from Sirius, the intermediate intermediate law of karma. This outpouring of spiritual energy passes through the groups, or to use a technical term or word, which is relatively unimportant, through the ashrams of all the masters of the wisdom, the disciples of the Christ. It is then transformed or transmuted by them, probably should be a capital T, right? So as to meet adequately the need of the different types of people who compose humanity and who are represented in the ashrams by different masters. And through all the masters and through all disciples, this energy passes. So that all, at their many different stages, may receive the needed stimulation. They precipitate certain specialized aspects of this newly received energy, and they therefore will be peculiarly active in the coming period. We've been told that hierarchy is a great center of activity, and that Shambhala is the place of peace, quite a difference in the way they function. So here he's discounting the word ashram. He's saying, well, it doesn't really make so much difference. It's a relatively unimportant technical term. But the ashrams, no, that's not correct. Let me just copy that. The ashrams adapt the energy to the best use, the best use of the greatest number of human beings who can receive it. Okay. So the ashrams are very active. And probably this is the case too. Now, DK did say that after finishing his work with Alice Bailey, he would be working on reorganizational matters within hierarchy itself. And that is interesting. He didn't say too much about it. We do know the wisdom ashram was forming, but that had been more back in 1946, and maybe it's a continuation of his work. It's hard to say. Okay. Five of the masters and their five ashrams are primarily involved in this preparatory work. There is, first of all, the ashram of Master KH, which is the presiding ashram in this work of reappearance, right? Owing to the fact that it is a second-ray ashram and therefore upon the same line of spiritual energy and descent as is the Christ himself. Another reason is that the Master KH will assume the role of world teacher in the distant future when the Christ moves on to higher and more important work than dealing with the consciousness of humanity. So let's keep track of these five. It's the way it all begins. But there will be more to it as we proceed. At first, well, let's just say that not all ashrams can emerge simultaneously. Okay, Master K.H. Next comes the Master Moria and his ashram, because the whole procedure is projected from Shambhala, and he is in close touch with that dynamic center. So, you know, let's look at that. I guess every Chohan is in relatively close touch, but then Shambhala is a first ray center and he is a first ray Chohan. All right. The Master R, as the Lord of Civilization, is necessarily closely involved in this preparatory work, and also because he is what has been called the Regent of Europe, as well as the Regent of the United States. So, you know, these are at least some relevant colors. And let's see here if I can. Well, you know, it's just not possible to. Yeah, well, this will have to do for purple. It's not purple, but it will have to do for it. Another ashram is also very deeply concerned in this work. I have at times referred to the master who is responsible for the organization of labor. And DK has written about capital and labor. It's a moon chain, earth chain issue. And it involves issues of fairness. This work he began to do in the latter part of the 19th century, but left it to carry forward of its own momentum when Russia entered the field and laid an undue emphasis upon the proletariat, I guess, you know, the ordinary worker, during the revolution. And in the later years of the first quarter of the 20th century. So this is a third ray ashram. So far we have the second ray, first ray, third ray. Master R is much on the seventh ray, but now as the Lord of Civilization, which was the case even then, when this was written, he carries that comprehensive third ray vibration. And then there is Master DK. Let's see, I suppose. I, DK, and he could write that because it had been given out who he, the Tibetan, was. Am the fifth master. Notice he puts himself last. He always has that sense of appropriateness about where he belongs in the scale of things, and he has a deep and natural humility. I, DK, am the fifth master concerned in this special work and am, as it were, the liaison officer between those active and conscious disciples who are working in the world of outer affairs and those directly responsible to the Christ for the desired work of preparation. Certain disciples from these five ashrams have been and will be especially trained for the work of contacting the public. Well, let's put here a Mercurian color, the yellow. I mean, Master DK is very much associated with the planet Mercury. So certain of these disciples from these five ashrams or groups have been and will be especially trained for the work of contacting the public. And the public, you know, has so much to do with the personality consciousness of the planetary logos. Maybe Master DK will be one of them. Well, of course, he's a disciple with respect to the Christ. Maybe we are simply talking about initiates and maybe ordinary higher disciples who can contact the public. The stimulation which can be given will be released at the coming full moon. Not all stimulation can be given, but sufficient. The five specialized energies are as follows. And the first one, the energy of love, wisdom, maybe, you know, associating this particularly with Master KH and, of course, the Christ. This energy always has an effect upon every type of human being in the world. It is, after all, the soul energy of our planetary scheme. Its effect is to stimulate the tendency towards goodwill and to produce a mental development which can transmute the knowledge garnered down the ages into wisdom. So, you know, it has a lot to do with Venus and Jupiter. Uniting the head and the heart. It is wisdom which is needed today. Those who are now attempting to foster goodwill in themselves and others will be stimulated into wise action. You can see, therefore, that the outpouring of this energy is the first and greatest need. Okay, it in a way precedes all others, just as the reappearance of the Christ was listed as the first of six important actions or projects to be supported by the disciple. It can reach mankind because the founders of all the world religions, I refer not to their many diversifications, are banded together in unison with the Christ. I suppose this does mean also Martin Luther and for Protestantism and Muhammad and the Buddha, and it depends on how we look at the major world religions. Their Lord and Master, through the united and directed effort, these energies will flow. Forget not that the Christ represents the energy of love and the Buddha that of wisdom. So the Buddha and the Christ are both involved in this, and well, maybe Christianity is considered alone, and the distinction is not made between Catholicism and Protestantism, but no question that Martin Luther was a great initiate and came with a corrective view and put the human being more directly in touch with God as the source without the intermediary of the priest. And of course, Master Jesus is one of those great spiritual executives in regard to the Christian church. So this is the first step, this energy of love, wisdom. This is the first. Wish it was just a little bit brighter, and then one could see. But I do love this kind of deep blue color. Okay, then the next energy, the energy of will or power, from Master Moria's ashram. The outpouring of this energy owing to the little wills of the majority of men, and the developed strenuous wills of certain present world leaders will not have as wide or potent an effect or contact as may the others. Its inflow will, however, serve to bring about a fixed intention on the part of many to work ceaselessly for true peace and understanding. These people will therefore aid in the task of implementing goodwill. So, you know, sort of an expression of love and an expression of the will to good, which cannot reach us so easily, but as goodwill, it can. It will nevertheless strengthen the will of the selfish, ambitious, and obstinate men who are in positions of power and influence, and produce increased trouble, at least temporarily. And we do have some of those who care only for themselves or for their country, nationalistically considered, maybe as a reflection of themselves. Obstinate is an interesting word, because they are resisting, willfully resisting true will and purpose. And I'll put that in. Willfully resisting true will and purpose. Well, that is unfortunate, but it is how things are, and eventually they will be trained in the right use of the will according to purpose, and in the laying out of plans which will help to execute the will and purpose. It will be the result, the salvation of the world and the production of the needed security will be brought about in the long run by the mass of men everywhere in all lands. It will be the result of an intensified educational process. All right. That is how salvation really comes, and education primarily along the secondary line, wise education, not only the third and fifth rate type of education, which may, you know, control our institutions of higher learning at the present time. Will be effective. The second ray has to come into this education of the masses. Humanity as yet does not know how to handle wisely, there's the word, the energy of the will to power, and it is largely this that has handicapped the manifestation of the will to good. Well, that's a good statement, clear statement. The Shambhala force is too strong for those who are naturally willful. In the case of certain potent men, this energy reaches them directly, well, maybe like Hitler, and is not stepped down for them through contact with the hierarchy of love. It naturally expresses itself in the political fields and in the realm of governments through rulers, officials, statesmen, and politicians. But that is, I think, a very interesting statement that this will to power has handicapped the will to good. The will to good has a certain second ray quality with it as accompaniment to the first ray. The will to power may be simply that in an unadulterated form. When the little wills of the intelligentsia, of those who serve the public in some capacity or other, and those above all who are working in some connection with the United Nations becomes strengthened, stimulated, and focused on goodwill, the union of the two energies, love, wisdom, and of will, can bring about the needed changes in the planetary life. This is not an immediate happening, but it is not a visioning of the impossible. So, yes, it's also a matter of will here. And I think has to be put here the intelligentsia, where we'll make that green, and those who are focused with the United Nations, focused on goodwill. Of course, the United Nations now has a place or places where its energies can be focused, and lots of Ray 4 comes through it, the yellow of Ray 4. Then we can put these energies together, and love, wisdom, and will can bring about the needed changes in planetary life. Okay. So this is Master Moria's group, largely. And there is some preparation. Going on in relation to the fourth ray group through Master Serapis, and he was involved in the sponsoring of the League of Nations, and I guess one could say that influence has gone forward into the United Nations. It is so interesting to see how it was that the League of Nations was produced and basically came to futility because it was rejected by those who maybe were not included or who were disadvantaged, so they thought, by its formation. But then came a much greater formulation of the United Nations. And then the energy of active intelligence. And this is the master who has been associated with the labor movement and on the third ray. This third type of energy is the easiest one for modern humanity to receive, which is perhaps a sad commentary upon man's aspirations. We certainly need to aspire towards the will to good, towards love, wisdom, towards purpose, towards shambolic will. These are the higher possibilities, but let's just say that being intelligent is a target of aspiration, and unfortunately the use of that intelligence for selfish purposes. The proof of this lies in the fact that much of this type of energy, through the selfish perception and desires of mankind, has been crystallized into money. And we might say it need not have been so. There are other applications of this acute energy of divine mental perception. This is how it is referred to, the acute energy of divine mental perception. So, human intelligence has served on the side of materialism and not on the side of spiritual values. Money is the concretized expression of the third type of spiritual energy. And this particular expression appeared first in the ancient and equally materialistic system of barter and exchange, and then in later civilizations, predominantly including ours, we have the appearance of money made first from the products of the mineral kingdom, and then later the paper money made from the products of the vegetable kingdom. And now, of course, we have the electronic money. Maybe this was not so prominent then when this was written. This has culminated in the modern preoccupation with money. There is a very deep occult meaning to be found in the statement in the New Testament that the love of money is the root of all evil. It is largely, well, you know, the love of desire and the symbolic means, money, for fulfilling that desire. It is largely money and selfishness which lie behind the present disastrous economic situation. Great financiers are in reality those in whom the receipt of money or of this type of energy constitutes the line of least resistance, plus the will to make vast fortunes which cannot be gainsaid. They will to make a fortune. They bring their intelligence to bear upon their goal, and naught can stop them. Many of them are purely selfish. Some regard their money as a trust to be used for others and are amazingly generous in a philanthropic humanitarian sense, you know, combining the second ray with the third ray, giving the philanthropic impulse. You know, the phil part is the love of, and anthropos is man. These men are receptive to the first type of energy, and frequently all the three types find a channel through them, and the world is greatly benefited. Such men are nevertheless very rare. It still remains for the crystallized aspect of this third aspect, money, to be used on a large scale for the furtherance of the work of the hierarchy. And it is at this point, and in connection with money, that the great test of goodwill should demonstrate. Well, okay. this is key to humanity's present condition and the present values. A sad commentary upon man's aspirations. You know, we are raised perhaps to pursue money, and we lay waste our health, our resources, all in the pursuit of this symbol which allows us to fulfill desire, and in some cases, loving wisdom. So we see today billionaires, oftentimes hedge fund directors, not necessarily billionaires because of what they have contributed to the true values of society. Hedge fund managers get into the billionaire category. But the spiritual values are neglected and laughed at and considered to be unreal. So materialism is a huge obstacle, but then with the dramatic revelation of the consequences of the, it's called the splitting of the atom. He says it's not really correct, but the release of the energy of the atom, the death blow to materialism has been sounded or has made its impact. So now we have the electronic money, you know, it's simply numbers and symbolic symbolic system, and it indicates the degree of desire which any individual or group can fulfill. It's a symbol serving the fulfillment of desire. Some people are just naturally this way. I mean, you know, you read stories of J.P. Morgan back when he was getting started, and already as a teenager, he was involved in this whole idea of amassing money, and the Rockefellers, and so many names I can't name, but they knew what they wanted. They wanted to make their fortune. But there are also those who are amazingly generous and philanthropic in the humanitarian sense. Maybe the motives are at times mixed, but they do accomplish a lot for health and education. And you can probably think of those for whom this is the case. They are criticized by others who think their motives are maybe nefarious, and things can be pointed out where they are so intelligent, they know how to manipulate the money so that not only do they contribute, but they find their fortune enhanced. But there are several such figures today, some very well known and some not much known at all. And thank goodness for their presence. So here, with regard to money, is it going to be used as love in action under the impress of goodwill? And through it, will the will to good manifest? Well, I've seen people connected with laboratories making vital medicines who decided, instead of making a medicine reachable, financially reachable, multiplying the cost of it by thousands and thousands and thousands of percentages. Now, this is clearly an anti-humanitarian gesture. The love energy is not there. On the other hand, the opposite has also been the case. Now, there's this energy which produces order. This is, and we're thinking here of Master R, but of course he also has the third ray behind all this. The energy which produces order, and this is the energy of the seventh ray, or power of divinity. At this time, the major expression comes through the relationships and adjustments required between capital and labor. So I guess we can see, you know, the work of the third ray master, and this particular master would be correlated. The third ray master being under the direction of the Mahachohan. So this relationship between capital and labor, yes, labor will be primarily involved here, it says. The energy is being assimilated in the ashram of the master whom I mentioned above. And at the inception of the industrial era, so we're going back now to the late 18th century and early 19th century, he was responsible for the formation of the labor movement, a movement bringing into relation the workers of the world, the unions. And there were many sacrifices involved in unionization. It is interesting to have in mind that today labor functions internationally. It is a group which learns with rapidity and has in it the seeds of vast good. It is probably the energy which will place goodwill in the forefront of human thinking upon a pinnacle of thought. The master to whom I refer belongs in the ashram of Master R, who is now the Mahachohan, and he relieves him of this phase of the work to be done, and maybe a seventh ray master is as well involved, because the ashram of Master R is very extensive now, since he is the Mahachohan. So there's a little, you know, question about who is, if there is this seventh ray master, who is this seventh ray master? We're told that initiates on the seventh ray, first degree initiates, largely will appear and will help us straighten out the financial situation, but obviously this would be a higher type of initiate. What did we read recently? That there's an initiate called the adjuster of finances, something like that. Anyway, this energy will be appearing. Energies 2, 1, 3, and 7. And then this question of the right human relations. It's a ray 4 and 2 energy. The energy is a subsidiary expression of the energy of love wisdom, the first of the great outpouring energies. It emanates, therefore, from the subsidiary ashram for which I am responsible. Now, this tells us something about the Tibetans' work, which may not have been considered. I have written and taught much about it, and with some success. Right human relations is not simply goodwill, as people seem to think. It is a product or result of goodwill and the instigator of constructive changes between individuals, communities, and nations. About it, I need not write, for you have enough teaching from me to guide you. Your daily actions will be those of goodwill, directed towards the establishing of right human relations, if you are rightly oriented within the race of men and towards the spiritual hierarchy. So, you know, obviously Master DK is a great healer, a great teacher, but the energy of right human relations is coming. Well, it's a theme of Shambhala, of course, but it's coming out of his ashram, which will be one of the externalizing ashrams. And it emanates, therefore, from the subsidiary ashram for which I am responsible, he says. From a secondary ashram, but there's lots of third ray, and, well, as we say, he has five masters working in his ashram, so the various sub-rays can be expressed. These five energies of love, wisdom, second ray, and will, purpose, first ray, and labor, you know, and finance on the third ray, and related to that, the seventh ray energy of organization, and then the energy of right human relations. That is coming from Master DK's ashram. Now, you know, I've sometimes questioned myself. He has a lot of third ray, and I believe a third ray monad, or at least one of those energies on the monad, is the third ray, I think, because of the great mental acuity that he has. But at the same time, if he were head of a second ray subsidiary ashram, he could include those five masters, and that would be still subsidiary to the great ray ashram on the second ray, over which Master Kutumi would preside. So I've kind of changed maybe my focus on that point, and have been wondering, is Master DK's ashram the 2 sub 3, or is it the 2 sub 2, which brings in a very strong relation to the great ray ashram over which Master Kutumi presides? I really don't know the answer to this question. I would not discount the expression of the third ray in relation to Master DK, and yet at the same time, he has such a profound second ray as the healer and the teacher and the presented quality of right human relations. And he's talking to his students, and he's basically saying, look, if you're in my ashram, you will do the following. You will be rightly oriented. You will direct your daily actions using the energy of goodwill. And you will establish right human relations. So this is another perspective on his work, and something which must be carried in mind. Well, we're getting near the point. I'm not going to, I think, work to go much further, because this is a very long letter and it has taken us to page 647. These energies, along with others at this time far less potent and therefore of only secondary importance, will greatly stimulate the hearts and minds of men. The inpouring, let's just say, these inpouring energies. Maybe I'm going to really do something about the E. The E is a Buddhic note. It's a fourth ray note. And maybe it's telling me something. These inpouring energies. It is the task of the members of the hierarchy to distribute these energies, once they are released by the Christ, to the working disciples on the physical plane and to the myriad aspirants in training for discipleship and to the members of the new group of world servers. Members of the new group of world servers consist of those who are completely dedicated to the service of humanity and to the establishing of right human relations under impression. Aspirants and quite a few disciples have diversified interests and only serve part-time. Okay, well, that's quite a definition, an important one. Distinguishing the men and women of goodwill, the aspirants, and some maybe lesser disciples. And to all these groups is committed the task of implementing the work and directing the energies for which the Christ is responsible. And then we come to this listing, the objectives of the hierarchy in this divine act of mass impression and stimulation are basically three, and he'll tell us what they are. So we've gone to page 648. And let's see where we began. You know, at the well, probably we began at the beginning. And we're talking about the energies flowing in and the particular masters through whom they flow, the ashrams concerned at the coming and their ray energies. So we've gotten up to 648 in this approximately hour. And it is still the, well, no, now it's the 17th of June, and we'll be working on various broadcasts and webinars for you. And this is approximately one hour. Okay, so there we go. And we'll talk about the objectives of the hierarchy. There are so many lists to memorize and somehow to fulfill. This has been program number 83. And it's approximately just 1 hour and a few minutes. And Okay. So this had been from 6:42 to 6:48 on the 16th of June, and then we'll go ahead tomorrow, which is really later today, and this will be our date. All right, program. All right, friends, so that'll be it for the moment. And we'll start with program number 84 and try to be as clear as we can in this outline of what it is we can do to really do our part in promoting the divine plan and above all the reappearance of the Christ and the externalization of the hierarchy and strengthening the new group of world servers thereby, or at least strengthening them so they can help even more. So, lots of love, many blessings, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.